Welcome to 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. John Shannon here. Darren Millard has a well-deserved week off. Spent yesterday, July the 7th, at the NHL Alumni Association golf event just outside of Toronto, where there were 50 former NHLers and their corporate sponsors spending time on the golf course, whacking it around. But I went out and had a chance to spend some time with 10 or 11 of the former NHLers that were there, plus some time with Glenn Healy. And this week, we're going to dub it Alumni Week on the podcast. So today, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we'll be producing unique programming involving some players to talk about their careers, the game right now, who the players they like to talk about, and the pressures of playing in Canada, which most of them on the podcast will have done. There's some fascinating discussions over the next 3 days. And today we'll start with living under the microscope of playing in Toronto. How hard it is to play in this big city? How hard is it to play under the microscope of a very, very big media circus plus a demanding hardcore fan base? So today it's Steve Thomas, Darcy Tucker, and first up, the former captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs and the first man to score 50 goals for this franchise, Rick Vive, on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Welcome back to 100% Hockey from the NHL Alumni Tournament. Pleased to be joined by the first man to ever score 50 goals as a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Rick Vive. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thanks, John. It's nice to be here. It's a beautiful day, really. I mean, I looked at the weather network the other day, and it showed storms all day. And I thought, oh, this is going to be, but it all.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're in Toronto. We're just outside the city on a golf course. You and I both live here, so why not talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Yeah.
What do you make of the Marner move? And disappointed, or do you think it was the right thing to do for Mitch?
I think it was the right thing to do for him. And as a team, you know, I think it was time maybe that they went in a different direction, considering the failures in the playoffs in the last 9-10 years. And he was part of that. And but I mean, I think he'll be well insulated in Vegas. I think he'll do very well. I mean, and I think a lot of pressure is going to be off him, I think. I think he's going to play a lot freer, and, you know, he's going to be able to go out to a mall with his wife and his kid, and nobody will know who he is.
So you bring that up. You lived in many ways what Mitch Marner has gone through. You lived it.
Yeah.
What's it like? How hard is it?
Well, it depends on the person. If you can't let things roll off your back, I mean, I read the paper every morning. I read what people said, and I just always said, okay, well, that's their opinion. I don't really care. I got a job to do, and I got to do my job. And that's what I did.
And did you feel that you got enough support from the hockey club? I mean, we're talking about a different time and place and era with the Maple Leafs than now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely had support from my teammates, and Boreas Salming in particular, who sat right beside me. And I mean, all the guys were on board, and I had a lot of people in the room that believed in me, and coaches that believed in me. And that's really all that mattered.
Yeah. The you follow this club still. What is it like without Marner at this point?
Well, it's going to be a little different. You're talking about a guy that had 102 points. That's not easy to throw out the door, but they're going to have to bring in maybe one of their young guys, Cowan, or one of those guys steps up and kind of takes over that role.
Hard to find 102 points, though, in the NHL. Do you think this team, the expectation of this team should still be as high as it was in the last 7 or 8 years, or is this is now going to be a work in progress?
No, I think everything should be still as high as it ever was. I mean, this is still a good hockey team. I mean, even though you lost Mitch, who's 102 points, but some young guys have to step up and make their way onto the team. And like I say, I mentioned Easton Cowan as one of the guys, but there could be several others from the minors or the guys that they just traded for, that sort of thing. They're going to have to step up.
How much more pressure do you think's on Austin?
I don't think, well, I mean, he's going to have to drive that line now. Mitch was the guy that was making a lot of plays, and now a lot of it's going to fall on Austin, but I think he's fine with it. I think he can handle it just fine.
So the a lot of pressure, too. They've just re-signed Matt Nyes, and obviously there's an expectation that Matt Nyes is going to go to the next level, and then to re-sign John Tavares.
Well, I mean, he scored 38 goals. And
people forget that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he's going to be 36 in September, I believe, or 35.
Yeah.
So he's getting up there, but when you score 38 goals, and I don't know how many points he had, probably close to 8.
Yeah, he had 20 points. And,
you know, he's going to be a really good second or third line center. They take over the second centerman goal, but he's going to play a big part. And they got him at a good price. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Guys with the Maple Leafs now, they're still in the same division with the Florida Panthers.
And yeah. I mean, it's probably, if it's not the toughest division, it is one of the toughest divisions. I mean, look at even Ottawa.
Ottawa and Montreal are going to be different.
Yeah, they're coming along. They're young guys. They're getting better. They're starting to build their teams a little bit better. And I mean, so that makes the division that much tougher.
So I was talking to Darcy about this a little earlier. You've come back after playing in other cities. You've come back to live in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And really, in many ways, if you make it here, you could make it anywhere. And could you ever have imagined winning the Stanley Cup here and what it would do? Because you guys have done an amazing job of staying relevant in the marketplace. Fans love the alumni here. But, you know, winning the Stanley Cup would cement your history.
Winning the Stanley Cup in Toronto. Unfortunately, the era that I played, we had an owner that didn't want to spend a lot of money, Harold Ballard, I'm talking about. And that kind of hurt us quite a bit. You know, guys' contracts were up and you get a minimal raise. And when guys on other teams are doing the same sort of thing, are getting a big raise. So it was difficult to keep guys.
Yeah. When you walk into Scotiabank Arena, I would assume for you, it's an amazing thing to think this is actually the same franchise.
But yeah, it is. It's when you go from the Gardens to Scotiabank Arena, it's a big, big difference. And the one thing that still is great is when I walk in, they pretty much all know who I am. And, you know, I go in gate 2 or whatever gate I go in, and the ushers know who I am and everything. And, of course, some of them have been around there for 45, 50 years. So they obviously watch me play, and they're still there.
That's the magic of this franchise. Yeah. And you know, the impact either you made as a team or as you did in scoring multiple 50 goal seasons, the impact you made on the fan base here.
Yeah, absolutely. And Montreal, Toronto, I think you look at those cities, they're two of the biggest hockey cities, I think, in the National Hockey League. There's no question. Maybe New York City is the third, but Toronto, you can't be playing in those markets.
Welcome back to 100% Hockey. John Shannon here at the NHL Alumni Golf Tournament, joined by former Maple Leaf, Red Wing, Doc. What else do you want to be?
Anaheim.
Yeah. Former Tampa assistant coach. How's that? Steve Thomas is with us.
Thanks for having me.
No, hey, listen, thanks for stopping by. I know you're interrupting between holes 11 and 12, and I know you were smoking.
We're on fire. We're one under. We're not doing so great.
I always make a rule that if you play in a scramble, that if you bogey, you go right to the bar.
Yeah, you just go straight to the bar. Exactly.
So, Steve, you're a perfect guy to talk about playing in Canada versus playing in the United States. We hear this a lot right now. Is there that much of a difference for a player?
Well, for me personally, I had an opportunity to play in Toronto for 6 years, and I loved playing hockey where it really meant something, where people were dialed in, were listening to all these podcasts and the radio shows and all that sort of thing. In my opinion, it was like, I wanted to do the best I could every time I went out there because I didn't want the media all over me.
Yeah.
Right. So you work hard,
but that is a factor.
It was a factor. And so I went and played in Long Island after and Chicago and all the other places that I played in. But, the media coverage wasn't anything like, what it is in Toronto or Montreal or even Edmonton,
right,
or, you know, all the Canadian teams. But it like, in my opinion, like playing hockey where it really means something to everybody, it charges me up. And I really enjoyed playing in Toronto or Detroit was the same way. It's like, I enjoyed my time in Toronto and I never want to get that back.
And that's the reality is it's not the same for every player, is it? Do you think it should be?
Well, I mean, it can be. I mean, there, you know, obviously there's guys that are in Toronto that, you know, get some heat as well, but lower end, I don't mean lower end guys, but guys on third, fourth,
sure,
lines. But for the most part, it's the guys that are making, you know, offensive chances and that sort of thing. Like the guys that are the top scorers are the ones that get the brunt of it. And I think that Mitch Marner took a huge bump on that.
So you think he was treated unfairly in Toronto?
I'd like to think that he wanted to stay here in Toronto. I really do. I think, you know, he's from Toronto. He's a hometown kid. It's really tough because you're out there playing in the playoffs and you've got checkers on you. It's a difficult situation. You got to try and play through all that, and you know, that's the reality of being a top scorer and a guy that brings it to the table every night during the regular season. But it's tough because I don't, you know, 100 point player. You know, and he's one of the reasons why they got to the playoffs. And I just think it's just an unfortunate situation for him in the last couple of years in the playoffs that he just couldn't get it going. He's being checked very hard.
But that speaks to the difference, and you've lived it yourself. That speaks to the difference versus playoff hockey.
It was a big
difference. It's a huge difference. Yeah. And so Florida Panthers built a team not for the regular season, they built it for the playoffs. And how do you manage that in that term? I mean, that becomes such a difficult aspect of playing the game.
It does. You've got, like, playoffs are everything. I mean, your numbers and all that sort of thing are one thing. You can get a half decent contract on a very good season, but the playoffs for me is everything. It's like had an opportunity to play 170 playoff games. And, every time I felt like I was out there, I wanted to make a difference in a game.
Right.
And when you're out there and you're not making that difference, everything gets compounded and it just goes the other way for you. So I was lucky to have Pierre Turgeon as my centerman. I had Matt Sundin. I had Dennis Savard. I had, I had a lot of great centermen, and it makes a difference.
It's funny though,
for me, as a winger.
Yeah, right. It's funny though. I mean,
because you're carrying the load as a centerman. You know what I mean? Pretty much.
Well, you're playing a longer game too, right?
You're playing a longer game as well.
So the you live in Southern Ontario still.
I live in North Toronto.
Yeah. So most people view you as a Maple Leaf. People still stop you
occasionally.
Yeah. And could you imagine, you guys got to a conference final. Could you imagine if you'd ever won the Stanley Cup in Toronto?
No, yeah. That is like, I couldn't even fathom it. It would be, you think about, winning a Stanley Cup here in Toronto. You remember for a long time afterwards, and especially in the days that, like, I was in Toronto in the 80s, and it was difficult times in the 80s. And, back then, the fans kind of took it for granted. But now we've got a great hockey team, and you can't take that for granted anymore because we're supposed to win now. And that makes it a little bit more difficult because you got the media pressure. You have, you're ranked highly throughout the course of the season because you're expected to be in the top, couple of teams left in the regular season or in the playoffs. And when it doesn't happen, it's super disappointing.
And I think the reality now is that the Maple Leafs today aren't as good as they were last season right now.
Well, now
without Marner,
without Marner there, I think there's still some work to be done.
Yeah. Did you like coaching?
I enjoyed coaching with John Cooper, and I coached with, in Tampa, and I coached with Ken Hitchcock for a season. The video was out of control. How much video to do? I was up until 5 o'clock in the morning doing video on it. Like if I did the pre-scout for that game, and then we had the next game the next day, I didn't grow up with a computer in my lap, and it took me a while to get used to all the
chapter book.
It took me a while to get used to the software but once I got it going, it was great. My buddies would also say, look at, you're on the ice with Steven Stamkos and Hedman and Kucherov, and it must be amazing. You're on the bench for those things. But they don't realize the work that you have to do on the other side of it, and that's a lot of work.
The thankless job of an assistant coach is unbelievable in this league.
Well, I would say that our trainers went through a little bit more than we did,
right?
In the day, but you have to give thanks to the guys that took care of everything around us. But I'll tell you, it was hard work.
So, what are you doing these days?
I play golf at Toronto Golf Club.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
One of the great golf courses.
Yeah, I enjoy it. We're like second oldest in North America. We're 1876.
Yeah. It's a great place to play.
Yeah. We love it down there. And I've got some awesome friends there. And I'm there 3 days a week, 4 days a week. So it's always good.
It's great seeing you, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Cheers.
Steve Thomas on 100% Hockey. Welcome back to 100% Hockey. John Shannon at the National Hockey League Alumni Association Golf Tournament, joined by the one and only Darcy Tucker. How are you, Darcy?
Great. Yourself?
Living the dream. Why not?
I live it out here every day. This is my home court. Oh, so I get up here pretty much every day.
All right. Let me ask you, you're running the police on your shirt. What do you make of the hockey club right now?
Well, I know there's a lot of stuff that gets said and done in Toronto, but at the end of the day, we got a really good hockey player, and that's the one thing sometimes gets lost on our fan base and everybody that talks about hockey on a daily basis. We got a really good hockey player, and we're both doing stuff very, very good, and special hockey team, special hockey players, and I know we lost a good one, but we got a good one in return, and hopefully he had some element at playoff time that helps us win.
Do you understand why Mitch left?
Do I understand it? It's hard for me because when I left, my heart was broken. Like it was literally broken. When I left Toronto to play in Colorado, and it was not of my choosing, I wanted to stay here. But
That was hard. I was around the club then. That was hard.
It was very hard, not only from a hockey standpoint for me, but more so a personal standpoint. My family was being raised in Toronto. I'm a huge Toronto guy, all sports, and not just hockey. And we've made our home here now. We love the city of Toronto. And so from that standpoint, I find it hard to believe, but hey, listen, hockey's business, and I get both sides of the scenario.
Nobody loved playoff hockey more than Darcy Tucker.
That's right.
So you had to appreciate the way Florida played this year, but the Maple Leafs didn't play playoff hockey, and that you have to be thinking that has to change.
Well, when I look at it in totality of the series, we didn't play playoff hockey for two games, and that ruined it for us from a standpoint of winning and losing. And Florida did. They have a dynamic on their team that is hard to play against at opportune times. They seem to step it up sometimes in big series, big games. They did it against us as the Leafs. They did it again in the finals against the Oilers. You got to give them a lot of credit. They have gamers. They have people who know how to step it up. And the way I look at it, a lot of those guys don't feel pressure. They enjoy the pressure.
What about you? You love the pressure, didn't you?
I enjoyed it thoroughly. You know, I saw a quote from a couple of players that have played here in the past, and you have to have that personality that you enjoy that process and that part of it, and be successful here. And listen, I think I grew up that way. Pressure is getting up in the morning and going to work and watching your dad do so many different things in his life to make it possible for you to have the dream that you have. So I never felt that. I felt like I had an opportunity and I wanted to, use it to the fullest. And my biggest regret is not winning a Stanley Cup. That's the only thing that I'm missing in my life is not being able to put my name on that cup.
So, but I want to jump on something you said about embracing the situation. Here you are, well after your playing career is over, you've embraced this life in this city.
Yep.
Almost, I would challenge you almost more than anybody else. Gilmore's out here somewhere.
Yep.
I think, but he's the same way. But you guys embraced it. But isn't there a lesson in that for players today that you should be sharing with them?
Yeah, I think there's lessons in all of that. Being here at the NHL Alumni Tournament, it's pretty special for us as former players. Like, we paved the way for a lot of young kids the opportunity to play the game
and get rich
and make a good living out of it. So the give back is obviously something that we feel very fortunate to do. But I feel extra special because I got to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And so in my opinion, the Toronto Maple Leafs hold a very special place in my heart, not only as a player, but as a fan. You know, I watch this team and I'm a fan now. Like, right. I really want this team to be successful because the city of Toronto and the people that root for the Leafs on a daily basis deserve a championship.
Do you have a favorite player?
I do. Austin's my favorite player.
He is.
He is.
He didn't play like you.
You wouldn't think that coming from the way I played. I was pretty over the top. But I enjoy the skill of the game. I enjoy both sides of it. He plays the game very well defensively. You know, my all-time favorite players, Mark Messier, Bob Gainey, players of that ilk. So when you got a two-way centerman that can score and play defensively, you got to love it.
Do you think you mentioned two guys, one that was very subtle with his mean streak in Gainey, one that was very obvious with his mean streak in Mark. Austin Matthews, does Austin have that?
Well, anybody can have anything they want. That in life, you can have whatever you want in life. It's just a matter of a learned process of becoming certain type of energy and a certain type of mindset. And I believe that there's still more in there to draw out of Austin, and you can't take anything away from him from the standpoint of scoring, his elite ability to do things. He's a franchise player through and through, and lucky to have him in Toronto.
And he's got even more pressure now, though, don't you think?
Like I said, pressure is something that you take internally, and you have to have the right mindset and the right people around you to help you do that pressure.
Is that a Pat Quinn statement, or is it
throwing out all the Pat Quinn lines right now? Yeah, Pat was a great mentor for a lot of our players here in Toronto. God rest them. I wouldn't be the same husband, father, person I am today without having Pat Quinn around.
He touched so many people in so many different ways. I mean, I spent a lot of time in British Columbia, and he might even be a bigger name there than he is here.
Yeah.
But just, I mean, he was the classic gentle giant, but you never wanted to get on his bad side.
And you know, as a player, it's funny. I love Pat. He never threw his players under the bus. He always let the personality of that player shine through, which is, it's an amazing attribute as a coach to be able to manage your players, but still let their best part of them come out. And that's what I loved about him. I never got scolded for being on the wrong side of things, which I was numerous times. But at the same time, he let me be.
The one thing I understand about Pat, and I never played, but he was very respectful of the room being your room, not his room.
That's right.
And that's vastly important in a game situation.
Take ownership for the room.
Right.
He let us take ownership for that as players. You know, and we had a lot of good players on the hockey clubs that I played with here in Toronto. So the room was very easy to have that dynamic. And Pat, like, he was very good and manage your own situation in the locker room.
You see any Berube in Quinn, or Quinn in Berube, rather?
Absolutely, yeah. His mindset towards Pat loved skill, but just as much he loved the other side of the game, the physical part of it, the hardness, the battle. He wanted that battle out of each and every one of his players.
Thanks for this, Darcy.
I appreciate it. Great seeing you again.
Great seeing you. Yeah, Darcy Tucker.
All the very best.
On 100% Hockey.
It's fascinating to think that all three guys are tolerant of living in Toronto and playing under the criticism of what people deal with when the Maple Leafs don't win. Obviously, Thomas and Tucker had a great deal more success in this market than Rick Vive did, although Vive's individual accomplishments will always be something to marvel. Three times a 50-goal scorer for a team that, let's be honest, was not very good. But Thomas and Tucker were on teams that went deep into the playoffs, something that we haven't seen in Southern Ontario for a long, long time. But all three still have great loyalty to the Maple Leaf franchise and to the Maple Leaf fan base. They've all decided to return to Toronto to live after finishing their careers somewhere else, because it is such a great place to live as a veteran player, as an alumni member. What's going to happen over the next couple of days, we'll venture outside of Toronto. Thank goodness. We're not just a Toronto-based podcast. We will talk to players from other franchises, Matt Cook from the Vancouver Canucks in Pittsburgh, Guy Carboneau, obviously, from those great Montreal Canadiens teams and a team that he coached, and what Marty St. Louis will be looking after on Alumni Week here on 100% Hockey. We'll talk to you tomorrow.